picking praise in the evening for three or four songs, and if I don't know it, you have to come up and lead it. Our old song leader used to do this, and we tried to carry it on with me, but praise God. So let's help me out with number 703 here. 703. When my life work is ended and I cross a swelling tide, when the bright glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How a full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that the prayer me for my mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vows of Eden, they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior face first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet the Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Amen. 200.
Splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down His life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth, there's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death He remembered the thief hanging by His side.
He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. 260. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Yes, sir. Cynthia and I just found out that we're going to have another grandbaby. David's wife is expecting. So, amen. That'll be number 3. Yes. Yes! All right. What number was that? I forgot. 236. Sorry. Amen. 2:36. Jesus paid it all. Amen. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. One more and we'll have our offering. Number one?
4:30.
Amen. Would you all rise and we'll sing number 4:30 and have our offering after this song. You fooled me. I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. 4:30. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. We had a great day in the Lord's house today, and I think we're going to have a great night. So, Brother Cheney, Pastor, would you come on up and preach the word for us? Amen.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Good singing. I tell you, man, you're singing it like you mean it. You know, it's victory and just the blood and just... That's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's just a sweet spirit and song. And it's important to do that. That's part of the worship, you know. And he's worthy. He's worthy to receive our, you know, songs. I mean, everything we have for him. I mean, he's just so good. He's due that praise that goes up to him. Amen. It's amazing with the praise. You look in the Bible, you see, you know, people praying, but with prayer, when it's mixed with praise, you know, like Thanksgiving, because you're singing with Thanksgiving, you know, it's like, whoa. And it seemed like the Lord shows up in those times in the Bible, you know. Sometimes he filled the place with his presence where they can't even minister in there. I mean, it's just that the Lord likes it. He loves it when we sing to him. And it's good to have a one and only true God that we can sing to, and he's so sweet, he's so good. God's been good to us today. Amen. And I've really enjoyed being with you this morning. We had a good time this morning in the Lord, and just some sweet fellowship afterwards as well. Got some more fellowship tonight to go with some cake and everything too, so I mean, it'll be a little sweeter tonight there. But the Lord is good, and all the time he's good. You're right about that. It's good to recognize it and be able to sing to him about it tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and let's start out in Psalms 23. Go ahead and find Psalms 23. And why don't you go ahead and get Psalms 23 and then find Genesis 22 and mark that. We'll get over to Genesis 22. We'll kind of work in the Old Testament a little bit tonight and see what the Lord has for us there. And so if you'll find that and kind of tuck it away, tuck Psalms 23. And I know we all know Psalms 23 tuck away, if you would, Genesis 22. And I know Psalms 23, we kind of connected with death and with, if you would, funerals and different things like that. But that's a life verse. That's a living chapter there. There's a lot of living things going on in that chapter. And it's a good chapter. I pondered what the Lord would, been seeking the Lord for, you know, what he would have for you tonight, and been doing that all the way through. And I believe the Lord, God did good this morning. God did good. And God always does good. It's just a matter of us kind of getting out of the way, letting him, you know, have his way. And we did that this morning, and he had his way. And I pray that the Lord would use this message tonight to be an encouragement to someone, and maybe to help someone. It could be a message we have to file away, kind of file away for another day. It just might not be that time yet. But I believe for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church is such a time as this. What God has placed on my heart to preach. I titled this message, Peak to Peak. Peak to Peak. You know, peaks are exciting. I mean, you got the peaks that's at the Grand Canyon. I mean, people just love peaks. Climbing to get to a peak, to look out, the challenge is just getting to a peak from the base of the peak up. They're excited about that. One of the things about peaks, if you could, mountaintops, is that there's less crowds on the peak. There's fewer distractions. It's not very much to block your vision. I mean, you can just see everything nice and clearly when you're on that peak. But the thing about peaks or mountaintops is that they are shortly lived. We must come down into the valley. You can't stay on the peak forever. And to get from peak to peak, you gotta go through the valley. We stand on one peak and you look out, and man, it's beautiful over there. I love to be there. But you just don't step over to that. You have to go through a valley. And in ministries, in life, it's full of valleys. It's full of valleys. I believe for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, there's another peak. And you have to understand tonight, you don't get to that peak. You don't get to that next level without valleys, experience. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into this. Father, thank you. We always thank you for the peaks. We don't thank you very often for the valleys. Lord, I'm reminded of Job. I'm reminded of Daniel. I'm reminded of people in the Bible, Lord, that was able to thank you in the bad times, in the good times, in the times they didn't understand what was going on, was able to give you praise and thanks. I thank you for the praise that I heard come off the lips of your people here tonight. Even in the midst of what is faced here. Lord, we need you, we love you. We beg for your help. Without you, we can't go anywhere. We can't get it to anywhere. We need you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to meet with us tonight. Thank you for meeting with us in song and music. But we ask that you meet with us right now in the Word as we open your Word and get into your Word, and that you feed us in a way that would make a difference. And we'll be able to leave this place different from how we came. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We must come down into the valley. The valley is where God purposed for us to learn several things. The valley is where we learn commitment. We learn character,
and we learn to trust God. The valley, believe it or not, is where we learn to be strong in grace. And that grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The valley is where we learn the humility and we learn how to comfort others. I think about the valley and I think about some people that would not be able to get through if it wasn't for God placing perhaps me there to encourage them, to take them up and say, come on, let's keep going. So the valley is where we find ourselves there to be a help to someone else that wouldn't make it if it wasn't for God allowing us to go to that place. Valleys is where, again, we get to see God's grace and mercies. Testimonies and friendships are made. Burdens are bared. And where we learn to appreciate the next peak. After coming through a valley, you appreciate that next peak. It's not taken for granted. We must endure the valley to reach the next peak. Where God, see, the valley is where God weakens our strengths in order to strengthen our weakness. If God didn't put us sometimes at a place where we learn to stop relying on our strength and rely on him. So he had to weaken some of the strength so that he can strengthen our weaknesses that would never come to play if we wasn't in that position. That's where we get strong. That's where he builds us up. That is where he makes us. In Psalms 23, I like to go through that. Just look through that a little bit, Psalms 23, from peak to peak. It says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? That's provision. There's provision in the valley. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. That's peace. Still water, peace. But don't miss the fact that he's leading me. God's not the type of God to just send you through something. He leads us through it. He's the type of God to get right in there with us. He don't ask us to do something he's never done or couldn't do or something that he wouldn't do. And so he leading us. And the mindset here for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, the mindset for your present situation, whatever it might be, is that, okay, God is here too with me. That makes a world of difference when you just think, okay, God's here. God's in this. God's with me. He's leading me. And with that, there's peace. Now, in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leadeth me. Again, he says it twice. Leadeth me in 2, leadeth me in 3. We got to understand that God is leading in all of this. And what's going on? God's leading in my life. Whatever's happening, God's leading me in the path of righteousness. He wants me to do right. He's going to lead me to do right in this valley. In this valley, it's important that I do right. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. I need to do right, but he's going to lead me to do right for his name's sake. So I can't even pat myself on the back. It's him leading me to do right. That's grace right there. And so here I see in verse 3, there's a pleasure. There's God's pleasure for us to be where we are. There's a pleasure in this. There's provision God's providing. There's peace God's providing. And there's a pleasure that God has. Verse 4. Yea. I like that. Yea. Though I walk where? What's the next word? Through. Let's stop right there. Let's not go too fast. Though I walk how? Through. Now, see, here's the mindset, here's the mentality, here's the thing that keeps me from getting anxiety and having panic attack. He's with me. He's leading me. He's going to allow me to do right. See, we all understand suffering to the point where we know the pain. But do we suffer right? It's one thing to suffer. It's another thing to suffer right, especially when others are watching. And so here's where you suffer right. When you know that the provisions are there, the peace is there, there's a pleasure about this thing, it's for God's sake. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. So he's letting us know twice, I'm with you, I'm leading you, I got this. He's like, I got this. And with that, I can step back and not allow the anxiety to overtake me. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? What about this? What about that? Oh, he's leading. Just let him lead. And just keep doing what's right. He's going to show you what's right. Let him continue to lead. Why? Because he wants you to get to the next peak. And the next peak is going to be more beautiful. Different views, different people at that peak that was not on the other peak. From peak to peak, there's another peak. You're on your way to the next peak. He let us know, for thou art with me. That's his presence. So, I mean, his presence is there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So he's doing the comforting. I don't have to look for some human to comfort me in this situation. I really don't. He doesn't want me to. Now, he might send somebody my way, because that's how he does. But we need to keep our eyes on him so we know, oh, that's God sent. Oh, that's God. And not lose connection with that. Verse 5, as we're finishing up this song pretty fast. Thou preparest. Now look, now he's preparing something now. He's comforting me, but he's preparing something. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So he set me up in the presence of my enemies. He's going to make me look good in the presence of the enemies. So I don't have to worry about the enemies. That's protection. We talked about protection a little bit in Sunday school. God does that. You don't get in the valley and try to protect yourself. If you do, you'll be like an animal. You'd be like an animal back to the wall. And so you won't allow God to protect. He provides the provision. It's his presence. His protection. I mean, it's just God's pleasure. And this is a mindset. I mean, this is the mindset now that's necessary because of my valley. If not, the depression can really set in good. Because depression will get you stuck with where you were in the past. And you can't get past the past or the past hurt, past thing. And so the goal is to keep looking for the peak. Everybody's okay? All right, we'll connect the dots here in a minute. But it's really true, because the anxiety is when my mind is out in the future where there's uncertainties and there's fears. There's no fear because this person's mind is right there. See, you can't see the future. And it's so many uncertainties. What am I going to do about this? Fear this happening, fear this. What if they do this? What if my enemies do this? And it's just so much fear. That's anxiety. Yeah. That's not where he wants us. He wants our minds set in today. It's a good day today. Amen. It's been a good day.
Yes, sir.
I'm reminded of that Psalms that says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That'll keep our minds. That'll keep our minds from dealing with the uncertainties and the fears. So he lays it out here and he let us know that I take care of the enemies. And he finished that verse 5 off with a colon, which means that there's an explanation even to follow that protection. Thou anointest me, my head, with oil. My cup does what? Plentiful. And a lot of times, God is giving us plenty, and we don't even recognize what we have because our minds is like out in the future or stuck in the past in depression. And it's happening right now today. It's all around me today, and I'm missing it. And this is just how life works. But I must understand. God, you shall not want. I'm going to have your provision. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to be give you some pleasure that you're pleasing me as you go through. It's going to be protection. You're going to have plenty. And then he tops it off with verse 6. Surely. Not maybe. Surely. Goodness. That's charitable is what that word means, like charity, charitable. And mercy, compassion, shall follow me. Now, listen now. Not just for a minute. Not just for one day. But for all the days of my life. That's pity. That's pity. God is saying, listen, I'm going to take care of you. I got this because I want you to get to the next peak. And it's no magical tricks to get to the next peak. There's only valleys. And you know in your marriage, you know in your life, you know in your careers, your military career, there was peaks and valleys. In every element of life. And so it is also with church and ministries, peaks and valleys. But the difference with the church and ministry and our life when we're looking to Christ is that he guides us. He leads us. We know it. And we're able to keep walking through, not sit down and wallow in it. We can get through it then and only then. Everybody's okay? Yeah. Well, I just want to lay that out there because that's important. And now David. I want you to think a little bit, the Bible strike. David, he went through being demoted. And some of you military, you know military, when you put over the whole army, general, I mean, you're over the whole army, and now all of a sudden you demoted, and you got 1,000. That's kind of, you know, from chief, all right, you chief, but now you, you know, E2? From chief to E2, or chief to E3? Not very good. And so he was demoted. He became a fugitive. But he went from there to the throne. He had to go through his valley. Even after being anointed, he still had to go through his valley before he got to that throne. Joseph had the dream, we know, but he went through, if you would, the pit, through that prison, to get to where? The palace. Some meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It was God's pleasure. And so the valley of spirit, to get to peak, you has to hit that valley. Naomi and Ruth. Ladies, I don't like to leave ladies out. Naomi and Ruth went through death of their loved ones. Ruth, with her sister Orpah, just turning and going the other way. They went through all of that to get to that next peak. From peak to peak. Nehemiah. He went through reproach, threats. He could hear the gallows being built. But you know what? He went through it. And he got promoted from peak to peak. Chula Vista Bible Baptist. Peak to peak. From one peak, oh, I remember when, one peak to another peak. From peak to peak. Job and his wife. People leave his wife out. But Job's wife, the mother lost children. Okay? I'm just saying. The mother lost some security with the income, the finances. She lost. I mean, you know, the wife, I mean, you know, Bible days, back in those days, you know, the women wasn't working all kind of jobs and had the executive jobs. And it wasn't coming in like that. It wasn't in the military. It wasn't, you know. So when Job lost everything, his wife lost everything. His wife lost it. I know people hard on Job's wife and whatever, but hey, you go. I mean, she suffered. She was in that valley too. And everybody don't respond the right way, but Job was able to be a help to her, and he didn't bash her. He didn't beat her back. You know, he just, you know, he made a comment or two, but I believe he was an encouragement to her during her tough times in that valley. Everybody's all right with that? Amen. That's Bible. But Job on the back end was twice as much. You know what that means? Mrs. Job was twice as much. So we leave Mrs. Job out of it. But Mrs. Job was feeling pretty good on that back end too, on the latter end. And so it's just the way of God. And again, God would not lead us through something that he wouldn't go through himself or that he has not already gone through. And Jesus went through the valley. Jesus stepped down, as I mentioned this morning in, I believe, Sunday school class. He stepped down to here. Okay? All right? He stepped down into this, and he stepped down into that cross and down into the grave. But you know, you go back to Philippians, he's exhorted above, every tongue should confess and every knee shall bow. I mean, he's the highest. That word, his exalted used there is the only time it used, you know, above. I mean, he's the high. Nobody ever going to get that high. Okay? But he had to go from peak to peak also. And if he did not go down in that valley, we all would be doomed. We all would be lost. We have no hope. And so you have to ask yourself, with this valley experience that I'm dealing with, who is around me that I need to be an encouragement to? Who is around me I can help? Who can I strengthen? Who can I be a help to? Who might not make it without me giving them an arm to hold on to? Or encourage, come on, let's go. We can do this. This is good. That peak's out there. We're going to get to it. Everybody's all right?
Amen.
And that's what we need. That's what we need in our families. That's what we need with our life and our careers. Now, Genesis, I ask you to hold your places in Genesis 22. And I'm not trying to be dramatic tonight or today. I just want to deal with the Word of God as he laid it on my heart. And I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you something in your life or your present situation. Or maybe it's something you might have to file away. Because if you're still breathing, you're going to hit a valley somewhere along the way. You're either on the top, on the way down, in it, or on the way out of one. But we got to deal with it. Just that's life. But Genesis 22 seems to be God's way. It seems to be God's way. Even with Peter, he sifted him. Then after he sifted him, you know, when you're converted, when you change, go strengthen your brother. Just seems to be God's way. He even did it with his own father, did it with the son. Just seems to be his way. In Genesis chapter 22, what we have, and I didn't prepare, I didn't study for this anything. I just know this is what God want me. Of course, when you're preaching, you want to spend, you know, time and get in it and everything, and that just didn't happen because I didn't know I was going to be preaching this. But in Genesis, Abraham, he went from peaks to peaks. Abraham went from Ishmael to Isaac. He went from moving out with Lot to the strife and separating from Lot. I mean, Abraham had some stuff going on. Into Egypt, almost losing Sarah to a heathen king. But I'm saying, he went from some peaks. But this was his ultimate one. After this one, you don't see God testing him and proving him anymore. After this one, things change. And let's just read verse 1 through 4. In verse 1 through verse 4, Genesis 22, Abraham's valley. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, test him, prove him. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, him, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And it's, listen now, look now, it says in verse 3, it's hard for me to read real fast past verse 3. And Abraham rose up early. He didn't fast, he didn't pray about it, he didn't have to have a prayer meeting. He just rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, his donkey there, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, we'll go ahead, verse 5, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. How do you get to the next peak? How do you get there? I get you, Brother Chan. I get you. You know, peak to peak. I get it. Valley. Okay, how do I get there? I get God provision, God peak. How do you get there? Well, let me read something for you. If you're taking notes, you can mark down Hebrews 11, verse 17 and 18, 19. In Hebrews 11, it says this in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, speaking of this is a commentary to Genesis 22, part of a commentary, a piece of it. By faith, it tells us, Abraham went, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, it's interesting that there's past tense, ED, offered. We'll say he didn't offer him. God stopped him, but he offered him. I wonder where he offered him up at. How about that? He offered him in his heart. He gave him up. He gave him up. That's why he could rise up early. That's why he went. Because he had already gave him up. It says in Hebrews 11, 17 that he offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's heavy, but that's faith. Faith, let me give you a biblical definition of faith, and then I give you, we coming in for land. Let me give you a biblical definition. I gave you some this morning of long-suffering, different ones. Let me give you faith. This is a biblical definition of faith. It is a personal measurement of the level of confidence we have in what Jesus Christ has done. That's the first part, it's a comma. Think on that. Confidence, and it's a lever. I don't know what your lever is. We all have a lever. Of confidence in what Jesus Christ has done. Something he's done. When I look back, I see what he has done. I see he put the shoes on the feet. He put the food in the thing. He got me the job. He got me the wife. He got me the children. He got me the grandchildren. He got me the church. He got me the position. I look back and see what he did, not what I did. If I look back and think I did it, praising me, then it's going to be some anxiety right here in this valley. Because I'm counting on me. And I can't even see the future. Uncertainties and fears. You follow? And so most of the time, we don't look back and thank him. We look back and think, we got us the job. We got us the husband. We got us the wife. We got us the children. We got us the church. We got us the position. It was our good interview and my skills and ability that got me through the interview and I got the job. We don't see him. Faith is seeing what he has done. And that needs to be in this valley right here. And so that definition, let me give it to you again. It's a person, it's person, not my daddy's faith, not my mother's faith, not my wife's faith, not my husband's faith, not the preacher's faith. Personal. This is personal, Abraham. This is personal between you and me. Hey, I can't go see what some other church is doing and what this church is doing. Hey, this is personal. And so it's a personal measurement of the level of confidence we have, not in ourselves, but in what Jesus Christ has done. Somebody ought to write that down in their minds. I'm telling you, what he has done, and not only that, and will do. I didn't say can do. It's different. Can do is different from will do. Well, he can if he chooses. He can't. No. Now, can do is like, well, I might even sit here and just see what he do. Will do, I go out and dig and plant and water because I'm, you know, he's going to get this increase. It's different. It's a whole different mindset. So will do in, through, and for us. Y'all get that? Why do I say he will do right here? Because I look back. And I see what he did. I can see what he's done. He fed here. He made sure it was food on the table. He made sure it was food in the refrigerator. He made sure it was clothes on the back. And when things were bad for my mother, he came through. When dad came through. And it's good for me now because of this and that. And the I'm just saying, you got to look back there and see what God has done and say, okay, he will do it. In this valley, he will do what he said he's going to do in Psalms 23. Because he did it in my life. He came through here. When I didn't think I could find a way, he gave me a way. When we didn't know how we was going to make it, he got us through it. And when we didn't have anybody to do this, and we couldn't afford to do this, and he did it. And he put the clothes on my back. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And he will do this based on that. He will do it. Faith. That's what Abraham had. That kind of faith. So by faith, you get to the next peak. We get to the next peak as we do four things found right here. And this is quick. You done good. This is quick. We'll go fellowship. Four things. Look at verse 6, the first thing. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. Don't miss this. And laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they, what? Went. They went, both of them together. So the first thing you do to get to the next peak, keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking out of that house. Keep walking down to this church. Keep walking. I don't know what the situation is in your personal life, but keep walking over to those children or keep walking to those grandchildren. Don't give up on that son. Don't give up on that daughter. Don't give up on your children's marriage. Don't give up. Keep walking into that prayer closet. Keep walking to them. Keep walking to that telephone calling, sending those emails, loving them. Just keep on walking through that valley. Don't sit down and wallow in it. That's simple. Keep walking by faith. by faith. Well, he fixed this, and he fixed my marriage when we went through this, and we went through this, and went through that. But he worked that out, or he worked it out here, and he worked it out there. Keep walking. Keep walking down to Shula Vista Bible Baptist Church. If you're sitting here tonight, you keep walking through these doors. You keep on walking. If you stop walking, you're not going to get to the next peak. You're going to be stuck in the past. Second thing, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? And come again to you. Not only if you're going to get to that next peak, you got to get through this valley. Not only do you keep walking by faith, you got to keep worshiping. You got to keep worshiping by faith. You got to keep singing like you were singing. You got to keep praying like you pray. You got to keep coming in here worshiping the Lord. You got to keep worshiping to get to that next peak. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop worshiping him. Don't start questioning him. If you're questioning him too much, you're going to worship him less. Stop questioning. Look back and see what he's done so wonderfully in your life. And keep walking and keep worshiping. And you'll get to that next peak. Everybody's all right with that? Amen. Two more things. We're done. We see in Isaac here. We see in Abraham. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold, fire and wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son. What's the next three words? God will provide himself a lamb. I don't want to deal with types and stuff right here, but look, God will provide. You know what that means? You keep walking, you keep worshiping, and you keep waiting for God to provide. See, some people wait and do nothing. This is the kind of wait where you're still walking and you're still worshiping. It's not, well, I'm gonna wait here at home and see what happens down there at the church. I'm gonna wait over here and see if he does something, then I try to help them with their marriage. Let me see what they're gonna do for themselves first. No, that's not how it works. You keep walking. You just keep right on walking. You keep right on worshiping. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praying, oh God, work things out. Oh God, we love you. Keep thanking him. Don't be like the nine that didn't turn back. Be like that one that came back and worshiped and praised. Just keep praising, keep worshiping him. And then you keep waiting. Because if you don't wait, you're going to get ahead of him. And you're going to go out and you're going to start trying to work things out yourself. Yeah. You just got to wait. And when he leads you to do something, you do something. Show you something else, you get that done. And you know in your heart that he's leading you, so you don't have to get all broken down and bent down. Because most of us, we can beat ourselves down worse than anybody else. The devil don't even have to mess with us because we can beat ourselves up so bad we can't even get out of the bed. We got the cover on our head. We not walking, we not worshiping, we ain't waiting. We got this cover of our head just trying to, you know. And so you got to be careful right there. That leads us to some depression. I'm just saying we got to keep waiting. Daniel He kept on walking over into that prayer room and that window open and praying and thanking God, worshiping, and he kept waiting for God. He didn't run into the king. I believe the king and him had a good relationship. I believe they was like friends. I believe Daniel had influence with that king, and that king had influence in Daniel's life, but Daniel didn't run into him. King, you know what they doing to me, king? They conspiring against me, king? Look at here, let me tell you right now, those other two, they lied. I wasn't even in the meeting, no. He kept on walking in the airway. He's supposed to be, kept doing what he's supposed to do. He kept worshiping like he's supposed to worship, and he kept waiting for God to make something happen. He went all the way down in that lion's den, and God shut the lion's mouth. Why? Because he believed in his God faith. I just want to put that out there in case y'all saying, I don't know about that. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. He ain't been where I've been. Well, none of us been in a lion's den like that. Them was some hungry lions. Last thing, I think about it. I can't even move forward without saying Ruth. She kept walking with Naomi. She kept went on doing, let me go to the field where I find grace. She kept worshiping, doing what she's supposed to do and just waiting for the Lord to bring things together as she waited. And then, boom, the light came on. God put the, it started to happen. Naomi saw, hold up, girl, sit here. Don't you go nowhere else. Don't go down the street. Don't go to that. Don't go nowhere looking at nobody else. Stay right in this place right here. And she just got to going, and Naomi is coming alive again and got hope, and they're getting through this valley now, and she just kept waiting on the Lord. God will provide. She came home to Naomi with that food. And Naomi like, whoa, what's going on? God just provided. Handfuls of purpose. You had nothing to do with it. You just kept walking. You kept worshiping. And you kept waiting. And God said, okay, here you go. Everybody's all right? All right. Let's get this last one. Now, I can throw a couple more at you, but let's just get on through this thing. I didn't prepare for this, but it's amazing how God brings stuff right up there. Look at number 4, verse 13. And we'll finish right in here. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and did what? He looked. Watch that now. He looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. So number one, how do we get through that valley to that next peak? How do Chula Vista Bible Baptists get to the next peak? Number one, keep walking. Keep walking on down to this church. Keep opening those doors up. Keep opening those gates up. Keep opening those curtains up. Keep walking down here, turning those lights on. Keep walking down here, getting everything set, getting over to that piano, getting up here to lead that singing. Keep walking up here, getting in position, and then keep worshiping at that piano. Keep worshiping right here. Keep worshiping out there. Keep singing. Keep recording. Just keep on worshiping and keep waiting, and then also keep watching. Amen. So when it comes, you don't miss it. But it's all right there. And he looked and he saw it. I'm going to tell you, I see it this way. I see over here, I see Abraham. I see eyes of Abraham. They coming on up that mountain over here on this side. And they coming. And Abraham says, son, it's going to be all right. Son, God's going to provide. Come on, son. And I believe the son was like up here, a big old boy. He definitely was older than 14 years old. If you study that out, he probably was muscular. And I think he said, hey, let me put some of this wood on your back. He looks strong, carry something good, and stuff. Come on, let's go, son. And they walking on up that mountain, and Abraham waiting, and Abraham just still worshiping. We're going to go there and worship. He worshiping, and he's waiting, and he keep walking. Then over here, what Abraham didn't know, over here on this side of the mountain, God had got a ram, and said, get up that ram, and that ram started coming up on the other side, that ram coming up on there, and over here, watch it now, Abraham and Isaac, oh, they walking, oh, they're worshiping, and they're still waiting, and they're coming on up that thing, and they're about to start watching, but over here, God got that ram, God said, hey, ram, get up there, ram, come on, get up there, perfect timing. And that ram gets up there, and that ram gets stuck up in there. That ram
telling you, get out of there like that. And let me tell you over here, listen, listen, Abraham over here, he got them all set up. He got the knife. Hey, Abraham, look. Hey, listen, there's a ram there. Whoa, a ram. God, Abraham, I know you fear God now. Stop. Do the lad no harm. I know you love me. I know you love me. You kept walking down to that church. Hey, you kept worshiping like you're supposed to. You kept waiting on me. You didn't get in there. I know you fear God. I know you got a respect and reverence for me. I know you love me. Hey, do the harm. Do them no harm. Woo. Look at there, son. Because he kept watching too. He had that knife, but he was waiting for God to do something all the way and watching.
Amen.
How do you get from peak to peak? You keep walking.
Amen.
If you sit down and wallow, you're going nowhere. You keep worshiping. You keep waiting on him. You keep watching. So you can get to that next peak.
Every head bowed, every eye closed.
I believe that's the message for Shula Vista Bible Baptist. No doubt about it in my mind. It's the message for our personal lives as well. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I believe God met with us today.
Amen.
And Shula Vista Bible Baptist Church, keep walking. Keep worshiping. Keep waiting. And keep watching by faith. And God will provide. This is our altar. As you hear the music and you get instruction for them, just stand and do whatever the Lord put in your heart to do, but spend some time with him. Father, thank you. Help us, Lord, to walk out of this place different. You've given us what we need. You laid it out. I had nothing to do with this. You laid it out. And I trusted you to come up here and do that thing. And you done good again. Because you care about Shula Vista Bible Baptist Church.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
For being faithful. As my brother prayed, you are faithful. Now may you find us faithful as well. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would y'all rise and we're going to turn over to 491. 491. God's good.